Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Flogger Presents with your host, Andrew Walmsley.
Welcome everybody to the latest Flogger Presents. I have with me another special guest for you all, and it is Lomig from Washi Films. Hello, Lomig.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for the invitation.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's appreciated.
Are we live?
We are live.
Oh, okay. So I have to be very, very careful.
Yeah. Now, Lomig does something very interesting in the film world. For anyone who's never heard of his brand, which is Washi Films, if you look at his website, he professes to be the smallest film company in the world. So how did you get that title?
First, I'm alone. So, I'm alone, and I'm not a very, very big guy. So I'm like 1 meter 60, 62, 64. And I started this company in a closet when I was living in Paris. The closet was something like 1 meter and a half by 1 meter and a half. So it was very, very small. So it was just, obvious. And other film company like Kodak or Agfa, Ilford, they are very, very big. They are, the machine are built in a big building. So,
yes.
So the difference was so obvious that it was like a joke, actually. Like, yes, I know, I'm very small. No problem. Yes.
I see. That's very good. Yeah. Yeah, there's a little bit of difference between Kodak and yourself.
Yeah. Actually, usually when I want to introduce film Washi to people that don't know nothing about what I do, I say, okay, you know Kodak? Usually they say, yes, we know Kodak. I say, okay, I do exactly the same, but I'm alone and I'm doing it by hand in my garage. So
that's very good. So it's a lot harder for you.
Harder?
A lot harder because you're by yourself.
Oh yeah. In a way, making film by hand. In a way, it's simpler because you don't have to bother with big machinery and hardware and a lot of things like that. It's a little bit. It's direct between you and the emulsion and the material. So in a way, it's easier, but not that easy. Not that easy. But it's the same stuff. Basically, we use the same product and technology, but the scale is completely different, and the hardware is different too. When you push the button in the Kodak factory, you push the button for something like 1,000 or 3,000 hundred rolls.
Yeah.
When I'm doing a batch of uncutted film, it's between 100 to 150 rolls. So it's completely different. But
yeah.
But the material, the emulsion, it's similar. So.
Okay, that's interesting. So. Why don't you tell us a little about your area of France? And so you was in Paris, but you've moved. Have you actually moved to Saint-Nazaire?
I started a company in Paris in 2013.
Okay.
And we move in. I move in from Paris to Saint-Nazaire in 2016. Saint-Nazaire is my hometown, and well, me and my wife, we wanted to leave Paris, and so we go. We are both from this area of France, from Brittany.
Brittany, okay.
And we wanted to have more room for kids, and I needed more room for FilmWashi. For example, I bought a film perforator to make the sprocket on the 35 mm film, and the machine was bigger than the closet where I was working in Paris.
Oh, okay.
So we had to move anyway. So now, I'm working in a garage, and that I set in a workshop, and I got it's much easier and much better condition, and the production I can do more film with better quality, so that's good.
That's good, yeah. Yeah, I like that. What about your childhood then, Lomeg? Has that influenced you ended up doing washi films?
Yeah, sure. I grew up with a camera everywhere in the house because my father is a camera collector. So
Okay.
we were always going to second-hand market to find an old camera, and he was looking not for a Leica or a fancy camera. He was looking for a popular camera, cheap camera for everyday people, like the Brony box. He was very fond of Brony box. There was Brony box everywhere. We had furniture full of Brony box. He also had a small lab with an enlarger and the tank for processing the film. So one day or another, it was I was destined to learn that. So when I was something like 18, with some friends, we made a trip in Northern Ireland, and we take a lot of picture, some in black and white. And when I go back, I wanted to process the film myself and make prints.
Okay.
So I begin to learn, and never quit.
I like that. That's nice. So did your dad take a lot of pictures and develop and every and print himself too?
He made some. He stopped. He stopped a few years ago. Didn't have more time anymore.
Okay.
But now that he had a grandson, he's taking a lot of picture again with a film camera.
That's nice. Was you
But
ever
did you?
allowed to sneak in the room when he was doing his developing and printing?
Sorry?
Was you allowed to sneak in the room, go in the room when he was developing and printing?
And my brother did it also. So yeah, I remember being in the room with the red light, the strange chemical, and the enlarger. Actually, I still have the enlarger. I'm still using it. It's an old one, but it's okay for what I'm doing.
Wow, that's good.
And
So,
I'm loving to using a Brony box for testing my 120 rolls, because you got only 8 shot, and you don't have a lot of setup, so it's very fast. it's fun to use.
Good. How did you get into making films then?
So it was in 2012, and at this time I was, like a lot of photographers, trying to make some projects, make some exhibition, trying to find place to exhibit my works, thing like that. And I was working on a project. It's a special technique called, sorry for the French, cliché vert. The idea is to scratch the negative. Okay. So I was doing picture in 120, mm-hmm. and scratch part of the picture and put some paint, basically draw on the negative with a needle to get a mixed medium between drawing and picture.
Wow.
The project was about an American writer, H.P. Lovecraft.
So okay, yeah.
So it's a science fiction writer. Yeah. So I wanted to have a picture to illustrate his work. And I wanted the picture to be like, part real and part dream, part fiction. So that's why I got this mix with picture and drawing. And so I spent a lot of time scratching the negative. And at one point, I tell to myself, hey, if I could have a paper negative, I could just draw with a pencil. That would be easier. Mm-hmm. That would be interesting. So, and I've always been, interested in history of photography. So I was aware of the work of Henry Fox Talbot and the first negative paper.
Okay.
So, I bought some liquid emulsion and some tracing paper. And try to put it on the tracing paper and load it in my 120 camera and take picture. When I processed this film, it was very ugly. It was very rough, but I get a picture. I get something I could recognize. It was really like the first picture, but I get something, I get a picture, and it was quite, striking, because that was also a moment where everybody around was telling, analog photography is dead, I can't find this film anymore, so I'm quitting, blah, 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 And it was like a shock to realize that you can do something. You can basically make your own film. It's ugly. It's not perfect, but it's working. Tracing paper was not good because when you put some water on tracing paper, it shrink like hell. So that's the point where my wife is saving me. Like she said, hey, why don't you try washi paper? Because it's for drawing, it's for watercolor.
Yeah.
Obviously watercolor, you are using a lot of water. So it should survive the process of, developer, fixer, everything. So I've been to art shop and bought some washi paper. Which is Japanese paper, and try to put emulsion on the paper, and again put it in the camera and process, and again I got something very impressive. It was not perfect, it was very ugly, but it reacts much better than tracing paper. And again, this kind of shock that, hey, I got a picture, it's working. And I never drew I never draw on this. It's when I saw the picture on the washi paper, it was obvious that it has its own specificity. So I didn't have, I didn't want it to put something else on it, to draw or scratch or anything. So I finished my project on HP Lovecraft with scratching the negative. I made a small exhibition, and I began this new project with a homemade film on washi paper, and it's been very very fast. We call it film washi because that was obvious. Like on my everyday conversation with my wife, I say, okay, it's film washi. So. And so I began making picture, a lot of picture with this, but for myself. And I show this work through, you know, internet, Facebook, friends. At some point, some photographer friends, they call me and say, hey, can you make me a roll? Can you make me a pack of sheet film? I want to try it. And there was also some shop where I was buying my chemistry, and they say, hey, if you can make an invoice, if you can make it a legal, real activity, we can try to distribute your film. We can try to sell it. So that was that point where I realized that I got products, I got clients, and I got distributors. So why not? And there was a possibility, you know, to make a smaller company, having a day job in the same time and making a small company. It was quite easy at the moment. So basically, there was no risk because I already had the material, the papers, the emulsion. I got everything in hand. So I played with this for a few months, and I launched it. I launched officially Film Washi in November 2013.
Okay.
And at the beginning, as there was only two distributors in Paris, and then there was one in Belgium, and there was one in UK. And I was making like only 50 rolls a month. And it was, wow, I'm making a lot. I was working in a processing lab, in an analog film lab in Paris. So I was working with film every day in the same time, and it just grew little by little, because the more distributor you have, the more distributor notice you and want to have film washi in the store. Okay. And I've been to Photokina in 2014, begin to meet some people, find bigger distributors, so get more attention, and step by step. And in 2015, I realized I had two full-time jobs, one in the processing lab and one at Film Washi. So I decided to be full-time on Film Washi, and we begin the process to leave Paris.
That's really interesting. So you said this started as a project then. So do you mean that was like a hobby, or was it a school or university?
It was, more like a hobby.
Okay.
I had a dream to be a professional photographer or artist, you know. But I never been in a photographic school. I was supposed to be supposed to work in the forest. I was training to work in a national park.
Okay.
Stuff like that. So, as I say, I was not supposed to spend so much time in the dark. I was supposed to be outside in the woods. But photography was a hobby and a passion. And at that time, I was trying to, get exhibition and stuff like that. But since I've made Filmwashi, I'm not making picture anymore. I do the film for the client and they make the picture. And to be honest, they are much better than me. So I'm really happy now. I'm really happier doing what I'm doing now, providing film for other people than doing my own stuff.
That's nice of you to say so. That's really cool. I've listened to Paul at Analog Wonderland, and he said, "You have a lot of ideas. You're very much a person who likes experimenting and making their own things."
Yeah, it's true. I got ideas for the next 10 years, so
Oh, okay.
time is the problem because most of my I'm working alone and most of my workforce is consumed by production of the film. So I got a lot of idea, but it will take time. But it's true that the main thing is nobody else is producing film for the market at my size. So basically, the machine do not exist for company like Filmwashi. You have big machine, big building, big labs. And me, and almost nothing in the middle. What you can call middle will be the research and development machine used by Ferrania, for example. But it's already big machine compared that compared than what I'm doing. So I had to build a lot of stuff myself, and because at the beginning I didn't have a lot of money. First machine were like Mad Max stuff. The first 120 spooler to put together the film and baking paper on the spool. It was made with a Brownie box body and some mechano toys spare parts, and the motor was from the cassette player that
Oh,
you have
yeah.
in the car. Yeah, so it was from a car cassette player. Just all of that put together. It's all like that. I've built some to work in the dark. I had to make my own infrared goggle because it's very expensive stuff and kind of military stuff. You can't buy it in France normally. So I had to build myself this, and the first version was with a scuba diving mask, and it was just horrible to work. Really, really bad. But now it's better, much better.
That's amazing. So that helps you when you're in your garage built doing the film, is that right?
Because at the beginning I was working only with orthochromatic emulsion, so I was and I'm still producing a lot of film with this emulsion. This is film W, the historical film washi. So it's not sensitive to red, so you can be in the red light. But after that, I had the opportunity to get panchromatic emulsion, which is much faster. You can have 100 ISO and you can push it, and it's you can have better picture because you have sensitivity of all spectrum. You have the green and the red, but you have to manipulate it in full darkness.
Wow.
So it's impossible to coat film by hand if you can't see what you are doing.
Yeah.
So I had to build this to make this new film, and it's also very useful to manipulate photographic material, because some of the film I'm doing is uncoated by. I'm doing it myself. I put the emulsion on the paper or on the plastic, but some other film of the brand are converted film that are already coated by industry by other factories, but they are not supposed to be in camera. So I buy big rolls, kilometers. And sometimes I need to make the sprocket. I need to cut it to put it in cartridges. So when you can see what you're doing, it's much better. I do a lot of things in the full darkness because sometimes you don't need really to see what you are doing, but sometimes you really need. For example, when I using the perforator. Which is an old machine from the 60s. It's from a film factory from Hungary, from a Forte brand, which is not existing anymore. Yeah. And I had to build some parts myself because some parts of the machine were gone. You don't want to manipulate this kind of stuff in full darkness if you don't want to lose a finger, basically.
Wow, that sounds dangerous.
Because it's like 500 kilogram sewing machine.
Okay. Wow. Have you ever been hurt then?
Sorry?
Have you ever hurt yourself?
Yeah, I already cut myself with a slitting machine to convert 70 millimeters roll of X-ray film to 35 millimeters. So you have one reel at one end and two reel at the other end, and basically you have a razor blade in the middle.
Oh,
so I already cut myself on the razor blade, and yeah, I do remember cutting myself also. I don't know when exactly. I don't remember, but yeah, the problem when you. When you bleed, when it's infrared or red light, is your blood is white, so you can't see where you're bleeding. So,
well, maybe we've just invented a new film where we put blood on the emulsion.
Yeah, but I'm not a big guy. I don't have so much blood to spare.
Oh, fair comment, yeah. Same here. why don't you tell the listeners about some of the range and just sort of give us an idea what you think they're used for or what's good for them?
Oh, you mean which of my films they need to use?
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, as I said before, there's no film where she is divided in two kind of film. You have the uncrafted film on one side and the converted film on the other side. The uncrafted film are very specific because it's coated on Japanese paper. So the idea is you get the fiber of the paper directly in your negative. And the negative is not plastic, it's paper, and it's a beautiful paper. So you got a very special object, just the negative. So if for the customer who are really in the, you know, alternative photography, experimental stuff, and who like history of photography and the old, really old school picture, where you can really see the material in the picture, that's what they need to choose. But it's a little bit more complicated to use than a conventional film, because the W film is not very sensitive. It's 25 ISO and it's mainly sensitive to the blue. So you can't take picture of everything with that. For example, if you make landscape, the green will be very, very underexposed. So it's more complicated. And you have to process it in a tray, not in a tank, because you can't put negative paper in classic tank. You also have the new one with panchromatic emulsion, which is called V, and it's a 100 ISO, so it's much faster. And as it's panchromatic, you can do every subject you want. So you can push the film. It's really easier to shoot. But as you need to manipulate in the dark, and you can't put it in classic tank, you need to buy a small adapter to process it in a tank. So it's easier to shoot, but a little bit special to process. That's why in 3 years ago, I've decided to launch the second part of FilmWashi, which is converted film. So as I said before, it's a film already coated by other factory with big machine, but not supposed to be in camera. It's, for example, it's film for X-ray. It's a film for recording the sound in a motion picture. You know, the little signal that is on the edge of motion picture prints. It's also a film for aerial photography for the military, something like that. And there is also, I think that's all.
You forgot.
Yeah.
You've got a good range. Really have. I've looked through them all. So, say I wanted to do portraiture.
Those films are easier to shoot because they are much more conventional in their manipulation. It's coated on plastic. And you can process it in a tank, or any lab will be able to process it. But I always choose films that are that give you a special look. I have no interest to buy pancakes of Tri-X or motion picture shooting film and making my own brand with it. I'm always looking for stuff that are really not supposed to go in your camera, like the X-ray film. So it's more a normal film, but you will still have a different effect. For example, if you take the film F, which is my last born, so I'm very proud of it, it's an X-ray film. So it's made for screening people to see if they have tuberculosis.
Okay.
So this film is not really made for normal light. But it's working as a photographic film. is X-ray film do not have anti-aliasing layer at the back of the film. So when you take picture with this, the light will scatter all around the plastic base. So you will have a very, very strong diffusion effect. Basically, you can't take normal picture with this. You always have a kind of dreamy or creepy effect. For example, when I make the first shot to test it, I just go outside, take a few shots of my home, of my garden shed, and come back and process it. And when I scan the film, my home was looking like a serial killer home. You know, it was really, really creepy, and just because of this effect. And so it's very, very special. I really love that look. And on the other end of the range, you have film S. It's a film to record sound for motion picture. So it's meant to be exposed in a big machine. It's not supposed to go in a camera and to be exposed with picture. But it's really, really nice. And as the sound signal is supposed to be read by an analog cell, so the resolution of the film is really, really, really high, and the contrast too. So the anti-aliasing layer is very strong. It's the exact opposite of film X-ray film F. So basically, you have no grain. Really, no grain and high contrast. It's really
sounds great.
Really interesting, and it's 50 ISO, but it's not like the Pan F, because the Pan F you have a lot of you know, gray, which is nice also. On this one, you really have a lot of contrast, so you have a very dramatic effect on your picture.
I think you've sold me. Yes.
That's the idea.
Yeah, I like the sound of that one. I do like the idea of doing like near infrared, though.
Sorry?
I like the idea of doing near infrared.
Oh, yeah. Near infrared film is made for aerial photography from the plane. It's made for a lot of application. The infrared in black and white is very useful when you make picture of the forest, for example, of vegetation. Yeah. It will give you a lot of different shade of gray for all the different shade of green. So you on your picture you will see, okay, here you have like oaks. Here you have a birch tree, you know, different kind of vegetation. If you use a normal film to do so, you will have a lot of, you know, you will have the same gray everywhere.
Yeah, so, gray, yeah.
So this film, when you apply it to landscape, it's wonderful because it highlights all the different shade of green and give you pictures that are really dynamic, and it's really nice when you have bad weather, when you have gray weather, it gives you contrast. It's really nice, yes, for landscape.
Well, thanks for that. That was a good introduction to your film, without a doubt. So which of them are you most proud of, would you say? Or do you not have a favorite?
It's for the moment, I really like the F film from X-ray, because it's really, really special. And I think it's the first time that you have access to X-ray film on 135.
Okay.
I think nobody was crazy enough to do it before. And I'm really proud to bring this opportunity to people to use such special film and camera. I'm very proud of film D because it came from Russia, and it's really, really hard to negotiate with a Russian factory, so it was hard to get it. Film S is I'm also very proud because this film is supposed to be made only in 35 millimeters because it's made for to be used in motion picture industry. And I get it in 120. I ask the factory to keep part of a batch, to do not cutting it in 35 and to cut it in 120 size. So I was able to did it. It was quite a bet because I had to buy a lot, obviously. But I really like this film, and I really like what people do with this film, what I saw on Facebook and Instagram. So I really wanted to offer this film in 120. And I don't think there was a sound recording film in 120 before. And of course, I'm proud of the Handcrafted film because that's the core of Filmwashi. And Film W is the first one, and I think that I will never stop to make it. It's really the hardcore of Filmwashi, and I'm really always amazed to see what I see on the internet from customers, because it's not an easy film to shoot, and when I see result on the internet, I'm always like, whoa, it's really working. It's you know, it's 5 years now, and I'm still amazed by that. I'm still like, wow, that's really, it's really working. And I see more and more very nice picture with this film, so it's really, really rewarding.
Oh God, that's very, very nice. And have you got anything? Sorry, go.
No, it's okay. I also love the one that are not born yet, but that are in my head.
That's what I was just going to ask. Have you got anything that's coming up you can talk about?
I've already. It's not film. It's paper. It's a long term project to make printing paper of on washi paper.
Okay.
I already done some tests, and I got the paper. I got the emulsion, and results are really, really nice. So you can enlarge any film on washi paper. The first results are very, very nice. Of course, it's still uncoating, so the coating is not perfect. Sometimes you may have some bubbles or speck in the emulsion, but that's part of the thing when you make uncoated material. And still, it's really beautiful. I just need more time to experiment and you know, make all packaging and everything around, and also decide what will be the size, because it will be kind of expensive product. So I will not make a lot of it. It's important to me to offer this product to people. I also want to release film F X-ray film on 120. But I just need to build a new slitter. to make it in that format. So again, it's time to make the machine. Right. I start with a 35 millimeter because it was more complicated to build. Because you have 70 millimeters at the beginning and you need to cut it right in the middle. So building the other slitter will be easier. So I hope being able to make it for next year. Paul told you about the thing I put out of my pocket, I think, in the Photokina. A special crossover negative positive film on paper. That I was thinking that nobody else would want it because it's completely crazy. but people seem to want it, so I think I will give it a try.
I think that's what people see in you there, Loamig, isn't it? You want to do the different thing, so why not?
Yeah, why not? It will not be so complicated to make it. But again, I will need to build a slitter, but so I can't tell when it will be released, but this is something I will do. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, that's cool. So if we talk about film in general, what is the future, say, of film? Are we here to stay? Is it, are we going to go see more films coming in? And do you think someone like yourself will make a camera?
Oh, you mean if someone like myself making a camera?
Yeah, because I don't think it's going to be a Canon or a Nikon who's going to make it. I think it's going to be someone like yourself who's got the knowledge, doesn't mind making something out of nothing in their shed, and then...
So I can already tell you that will not be me because I'm not so much in camera. I think the guy from Reflex. Guy from Reflex. They seems to have a good start. And I think if they succeed, they will create a trend. Some other people we start doing it also. We definitely need new camera because I think for as I say myself, I'm like the Mad Max of photography. but we need to grow up out of this Mad Max age. For some time we scavenged everything we can from the old photographic industry. To keep the thing working. But we need to make new things. So that's why we need new camera because we can't rely on all the second-hand market of camera because it's huge already, but it will finish one day. It's just a question of time. So we need new camera, and we need also new film and new customer. We can't just be scavenger. There's no future in that. There's no future in shooting expired film. Even it's cool, but we need to support new initiative to show the world that film is not dead, but film is alive. and kicking and doing new stuff. And it's also because the new customer are young people, and for them they don't go to film because it's nostalgia of good old time. For them it's just because it's new. It's as new as digital, actually.
Yeah.
So so for those customers, we need to make new film. But it's already, I mean, it's already happened. There is even a big company are making new film. You have Addox. Fuma has made Retropunk 320. You have a lot of, when you look, you have a lot of any initiative everywhere at any level.
Yep.
But it's true that new camera will be good.
Yeah. So you don't know anyone with any secret plans then?
No, I no.
Oh damn.
Sorry.
That'd have been nice.
And it's not my, my. I'm not focusing on camera. I'm very happy to have good news about it. But I told you, I don't take picture anymore.
Yeah, you're too busy, aren't you?
I'm only taking picture for tests. So yeah. I don't. Yeah, but. There was Japan Camera Hunter. Talking about plans like that, and there was a guy from Reflex. There was another Kickstarter from German Ukrainian people. I'm not sure if they succeed, but I think that if people from Reflex go fulfill their Kickstarter on their goal, and mm-hmm. people get the camera, that will create something.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing they're doing, like Intrepid cameras. Have you seen them?
Yeah, large format. And there are also other people in France building large format camera. But we need people to make the lens. Because usually they make only the body of the camera.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So,
and we need labs. We need labs. But it's coming back. It's the lab where I was working in Paris since I left. It's just growing, and they buy a new machine and. There is really a new demand for processing lab, printing labs, and this is important. There is also a need for a processing machine.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's lots of things. So where do you think Washi will be in, say, 3 to 5 years?
I hope that I will because I will move to another place. Mm-hmm. Because for the moment I'm working at home, so it's kind of cool. But basically, you are always at work.
Okay. So, yeah.
I will need more room for new machine, new stocks. I hope that I will be able to be to have a proper workshop and place for working and everything. I hope that I will be able to continue make film and. Maybe I will see what kind of film really like the most and make a choice which one I will continue and which one I will stop or reserve for special order, something like that.
Yeah.
I hope that I will still, you know, always be open to the market and to what people want. Because for so far I've been quite lucky because I've made the film I like and people like it also, so it's good. But it's it could be dangerous, you know, to be in your high tower and just don't listening what people want.
That that's really nice of you, and I think that's where the film world is different to say digital. In the film world, we know what we need. We want more film. We want range. We want cameras, lenses.
Yeah.
Whereas in the digital world, we don't want new cameras, but that's all we get, isn't it?
Yeah, it's for me there's no more war between digital and analog. This this part of the story is over. You know, when the photography was created, there was people like screaming, saying that drawing and painting is over, that will not exist anymore because of photography, and okay. And it's still existing. It took different paths, and in some way, the photography give a lot of freedom to the painter to do other stuff because they didn't have to make, you know, portraits anymore or stuff like that, so they can make abstract, explore a new path. I really believe that we are in the same kind of time because digital did not kill analog photography, and because and there is a lot of technical stuff that are not made in analog film anymore, but in digital, and it's okay, it's good. And so people who want to keep with analog can try new stuff, new way, new project, and it's really interesting. I will really not wanted to go back to, you know, the golden age of analog photography. I'm really happy to live that this time because a lot of things are happening and it's really interesting. I was talking with people from Ilford at the Photokina, and guys saying me that back in the day people were using film because they don't have any other choice. People who are using film, they do it because they love it.
Yes.
So they are committed to it, and it's really make a big difference, and it can really create a bond between the customer and the photographer. Filmwashi will not exist without the people who use Filmwashi. I could do anything I want if nobody use the film. The brand is not existing, so there are the people who are making it and making it happen. We are really living interesting time, I think.
Definitely. I agree, and I think you're right that we now choose to shoot film. So I chose to shoot some film at a wedding I did, and that was a choice I made. I made it clear to the bride and groom, that's my hobby. There were friends, and there was like, Andrew, I want you to be happy and be comfortable. So I was like, right. So I bought some portrait, and the images you get out of medium format are just amazing. And for me, that that's what it is. It's the passion there. So when you take the shot, there's a little bit more effort gone in. But when I was doing the same picture with digital, it didn't have that same feeling.
Yeah, it's different. And I've made my own wedding with a film too.
Okay.
But I bought some single use camera, and I make some special custom single use camera, and I give it to everybody, and I just hire a pro photographer to make one roll when we get outside of the church, and the rest was only with a single use camera.
Wow.
And it was great because people took pictures that I'm not sure they will have make it with digital camera because there was a lot of single use camera, so you got a lot of different point of view from all different table and different people, and people are not afraid to use single use camera rather than expensive big digital camera, especially when you're in a wedding party,
Yeah.
So yeah, that's
amazing.
Cool thing.
Oh, that's cool. So we've come to the time now where I like to take my guests through the random questions. So I will try my best. I hope I haven't done anything you don't recognize, Lomig, so bear with me. Question one. Your partner is staring lovingly back at you, but you only have one Malteser left. What do you do with it?
When what?
So you've got one Malteser. Do you have Maltesers in France? It's a little chocolate sweet.
Maltesers. Okay.
Yeah. So you've got one left, and your wife's looking at you. Do you keep it, or do you give it to your partner?
She's the chocolate loving part of the couple, so I'll give it to her.
Okay, that's very nice of you.
But maybe it's because if there was only one left, it's because I already ate all the rest.
So. Okay, so you're already full up.
Yeah, and I'm not a big guy, so it's easy to kill me.
That's nice. Question two, would you volunteer to go to Mars?
It's a
big question.
The woman who is currently eating the Maltesers will not be happy with that question. That's something I would love to do.
Okay. Would you prefer to have as a friend Jean-Paul Gaultier or Pope Jean-Paul II?
Oh. Oh, that's a tricky question. I think Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Yeah. I think that's inside you, isn't it? The artistic side there.
Yeah.
Here's a strange one for you. So question four. Hungry alien beasts who only eat 35mm film are ravaging the planet of film stock. And they are invading France. What do you do to protect your film?
Oh, well, that's quite easy. I will do only 120.
Fair comment. I didn't think of that. That was too easy, wasn't it?
Sorry.
Question five. You dream overnight about an amazing idea to make a new film camera. You have the skill and the money. What do you call it? And what is it like? Has it got any new features?
Oh,
So bear in mind the film you make, if you say had this other side where you could just make a film camera.
Yeah, I think sometimes I have some ideas about it. Yeah, the problem if I answer, I will give away one of my long term projects. So,
oh right, okay. Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, I'm not a camera guy, but I got one idea which is crazy, or of course, and that nobody will probably want it, but sometimes it awake me at night, and that will involve a new format of film. Not completely new, but a new way to use it.
Oh, well, you've got to tell me. No, you can't do that.
No, but I don't have the. Maybe one day I will do a prototype. It's really not priority.
Yeah.
So I will not save the camera market.
Okay. No problem. Question six. What was your favorite game as a child?
Oh, what was my favorite game as a child? Yeah, okay. I'll always like to open stuff to see how it works inside, and of course never be able to put it back.
Oh dear.
Condition. I do remember and you know trying other way to use it. I do remember trying to plug a small electric car on the 220. So of course it didn't work. There was no electricity anymore in the house. I always like to create some small machine, and that was not working because I was a child, but opening stuff, trying to understand how it works, and doing something else with it. I remember that when I was a child, I had this poster of MacGyver in my room.
Okay. That was really good fun there. We're coming to the end. So what I normally do is allow my guests to either tell us websites or social media where they should look at your products. So over to you, Lomig.
Okay, so the main entry point will be Filmwashi website, which is filmwashi.com. And here you got all the description and data sheet on about all the films. You got a description of the company, of the brand. And you have the link to the Facebook. There is a Facebook group for Filmwashi customers, so they can share what they do with the film, and it's really interesting to see what all those different people do with all the different film. There is also an Instagram for Filmwashi, Filmwashi official, that I launched it recently because I just discovered that there was so many people already tagging Filmwashi on Instagram. But I'm not really an Instagram guy, so it's still a little bit complicated for me, and I don't have a lot of time to do social media thing. But it's interesting to look what people do with the film out there. But yeah, but basically filmwashi.com is the main point, and you have the distributors list on this website, so you can see if there is a shop in your country where to buy the film. And some distributors are also selling the film worldwide, so basically it's available everywhere. But it's not available everywhere all the time because you have production delay, and I can't flood the planet with my film. And I don't want to do that. I want to remain small and flexible, close to people, and I don't want to compete with Ilford and Kodak, and I want to be more a complement to them.
That's nice. Yeah, thank you for that. Something you may not know or already know, I always ask my guests who they think would be a guest in the future. Have you got anyone you would recommend that would bring something different to the people I've interviewed? Someone maybe interested in doing it?
That's a good point. It's there is so many people out there.
You're quite welcome to have a think about it, Lomik, and pop an email back to me. It's not a problem if you.
Yeah, I would love to hear about the guy who make Kono film.
Oh yeah,
because it's interesting, and. Okay. And of course, you have the guy from Ferrania. That would be very nice if you can talk to them.
That'd be wicked. If there's anything you can do to help, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, I can try. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Let me know. That would be wonderful. So all I have to say is merci, mon ami. It's been appreciated you coming on here. We know you're very busy and spending a lot of your time in the dark, so it's very much appreciated.
Yes, it's thanks for the invitation, thanks for supporting my froggy accent, and thanks to everybody who listen this right now. It's you're welcome. No problem. It's my pleasure.
That's appreciated. What I'll do is, when I get paid at the end of the month, I'm going to have a word with Paul at Analog Wonderland, and I'm going to try and get some of your film ordered. Because I think it's only fair I try it, and then everyone else can see what happens.
Yeah, sure.
So I think I want to try the S.
Oh yeah,
this that sound is, recording. Yeah, it just sounds so different, and the no grain idea. I might be able to do some architecture with that.
Yeah, it's really nice with urban photography. Yeah,
yeah. So I will get back to you and let you know how that goes. We're only a couple of weeks away, so what do we say? Is it a bientôt, bonne nuit?
Oui, c'est ça. À bientôt. Bonne nuit.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cheers, Lomig. Bye.
Bye.
Well, folks.
folks, that's the end of another show. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I enjoyed making it. It's always great to have a guest on with me. Please do share the post and podcast show as much as you can where relevant. If you have time, please do not forget to review this on iTunes. Just hit the review button and give it 5 stars, please. It's always helpful. It's motivation for me to keep the show going, and I want to keep this going for as long as possible. And basically, I'd like to get lots of different and interesting people on here. So that's what I'm trying to do. Thank you again, and see you next time. Bye.